Welcome to A Better Way with Crossroads Bible Church. At CBC, we believe growth happens in small groups, and in season two of our podcast, we will be talking about small group leadership. The goal is to provide guidance and support to our leaders so they can welcome others, ask good questions, listen well, and point people to Jesus. And now your host, Britt Owsley.
Welcome back. Today we are talking about spiritual growth. Now, as we are leading small groups, that's something that we will talk about as our goal, is that we all are growing together spiritually. And I think that's a really interesting metaphor. We're talking about growth. It comes from the words of Jesus. He's always talking about us growing. He loves his agricultural metaphors, farming metaphors, plant metaphors. Sometimes we're the soil that need to take in the seeds to grow things. Sometimes we're the seed that grows, or we're the plant that grows and needs to bear fruit. Sometimes, the great verse of that he is the vine, we're the branches, both we and Jesus are the plant, and the Father is the one who's taking care of it. But sometimes we're the ones taking care of plants. So across Jesus' teaching, he loves this plant growth metaphor, but he uses it in 100 different ways. And we find that even in outside of Jesus's teaching, just other parts of the Bible. So as we're talking about this growth, you know, what really is it to experience spiritual growth? How would we describe that?
You know, we offer a class here called CBC 101. And in that, I always talk about spiritual growth being something like, in our small groups, we want to expect, like, we actually want to come to our small group saying, hey, I'm supposed to change. Not just that I'm supposed to learn something, but I'm supposed to actually grow. I'm supposed to change. And I always point out that sometimes we grow like tomato plants, where, you know, you put a small seed or a plant in the ground in the spring, and you've got a harvest, you know, by midsummer. And other times we grow more like oak trees, where you don't really notice from one year to the next a ton of growth. But it's still actually growing quite a bit, and it might be growth in the ground below what you see. But, you know, growth is something that we ought to expect.
One of the ways I like to think about it is growing capacity. So a growing capacity to know God, to love God, to listen and cooperate with God, to eventually want what God wants. Is a marker of spiritual growth. And the other thing I think is really important is the recognition of controlling lies that I'm believing and that's getting in the way of all the things that I just described. And I think about that happening, you know, in a group of people, by showing up and being honest about like what God's like having me pay attention to, what way he's growing my capacity, or a place that I'm struggling with not having capacity, and being honest with the group, sharing that. And then also being open to receive from them their story and the possibility that they've discovered something with the Lord that I'm needing, and that's why I'm there that day as well.
Yeah, I liked how you we're talking about honesty and that, like, I heard somebody describe growth one time as just being this cycle of back and forth of coming to know God better, and then to know myself, and then to know God, and then to know myself. And so I always think of spiritual growth as being able to grow in the capacity to be honest as I am learning about God and about myself and about God and myself, that and experiencing his love in that, like, that is what makes that awareness and that understanding go to deeper levels, is that I'm safe in his love, so I can really look at what I'm doing and really understand what's going on, and then I can see and understand what needs to change. Like, I can't grow until I know what needs, I'm aware of what needs to change.
And one of the things I'm learning to love about honesty is we've all been committed for a very long time to truth and how much truth matters and why it matters. But honesty is the relational word of truth. And that is a key to growing, becoming spiritually mature.
Yeah, and I like the word, we use the word yielding to what God's way. You mentioned being able to cooperate with God, and that yielding is putting my needs, my wants, my desires aside, recognizing them for one, for being honest with them, and then being able to put them aside. But in order for me to know that, God has to show me a bigger picture of Him. So He's always, His Spirit within me is always showing me His love and His care and His, and I go, I got this bigger picture of Him, but I have to yield then to His plan, to His way in order to grow. So there is that dimension of Him showing me my heart and where I need to go. Well, that's not, I'm believing the lie, or I'm not embracing the truth. I have to yield that and allow Him to grow me. Mm-hmm. And it is not always linear and not always observable necessarily apart, but it's a process I have to yield to.
Yeah. So Lynn, I liked what you were talking about when we, you know, were discussing a little bit before going over our notes about, you know, taking 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Did you want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's important as leaders to think about growth when sometimes you do grow and you feel like, oh, I'm growing by leaps and bounds. And then I realize, oh, I responded so much better in that situation. But then another situation presents itself and I'm back in the same fear or distrust, or I'm not, you know, exhibiting the growth that I just, you know, did in this other circumstance. And I feel like I've taken 2 steps back. Mm-hmm. And understanding that growing is a process and that is going to happen. But the thing that is so difficult in leadership is when you're watching people in your small group and all of a sudden you see them, the lights turn on and they have a huge aha and they're hugely self-aware and they're naming how they've not believed God and trusted God in this situation in their life, and they understand it now, and they're owning responsibility. They just have this huge growth spurt. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, they seem like, well, where did all that growth go? Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like you're back. And as a leader, you can feel like, oh, I failed. Like, oh, I don't know. It just, like, you know, it's true in your own life. But as a leader, having the patience with everybody else in your group, just it's important to remember that we all operate that way. We all grow and, you know, expand within our own selves, how much we can trust God in different circumstances, and that growth isn't going to go across the board immediately. And so it just takes time. So, yeah, I think leaders need to think about it's not you personally, so.
Yeah. And I think part of what you're naming is an expectation of what growth, quote unquote, should look like. Mm-hmm. That isn't an accurate expectation. And that gets in the way of us learning to be with them in whatever's happening for them. And what a gift it is, you know, for me when I'm in that situation, when I'm regressing, if someone isn't like stressed about that, or wanting me to be different, but is willing to be with me in like how sad that is for me, or how confusing that could be for me, or what I, you know, making it safe for me to like express that, that is incredibly encouraging and facilitates like staying on the path and trusting God with whatever He's wanting to do in the fact that I have regressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing that I think is so important about this is the fact that spiritual growth is not linear. It's not going to be linear together as a group. And so if I'm in a place where I'm growing and I come to group and we're all together, but maybe you're in a place where you're kind of taking steps back and you're like, what's going on? What I'm able to pour in, you know, what I'm able to share that God's doing in my life, or what I'm able to pull out of scripture, or however we're practicing, you know, spiritual disciplines together, these are things that can then start filling you up. Yes. And we had talked a little bit earlier, like the metaphor of like, if I come as like a full cup, I can spill into, you know, the group, and then the group together can kind of fill up and it overflows into you and it can overflow back into me. And that there's this flow of life that happens between me as an individual and the group, and you as an individual and the group. And so as a leader, you know, we might see places in our own life or places in others where there is not a linear upward growth. There can be these regressions, but we can still trust that when we're doing this, this is how God designed us to live in this community, this interplay between the individual and the group.
Yeah.
What are some other markers of spiritual growth that we've seen?
Well, I think one thing it's important to say is that there are some markers, there are some ways you can tell. The Bible talks about fruit and it talks about growth. So you know that there's ways that you can name things, but you can't. It's not prescriptive, so to speak. So I think when for group leaders getting together, kind of what you were saying, there is this overflow. It's good for us to be together. The Bible says that, and we love being together. But it's not a prescriptive. We can't come with a study or a thing and have everybody go 1 through 5 and then everybody be on number 6 then next week or whatever. While you can prepare and can be ready for that, you have to allow for whatever the Spirit's doing.
So the idea that we are yielding to what the Holy Spirit is doing, the way Jesus is working in our group, we're not up to, like, it's not up to us what growth looks like. It's up to us if we're going to participate with it, if we're going to willingly say, okay, God, do what you're going to do. But he's the one that gets to decide what growth looks like. So in your life, it might look like he's increasing your patience. Whereas in my life, it may look like he's increasing my capacity to have compassion. And those, you know, might come up against each other and form both of us in good ways as we come together. But I can't expect, okay, now God, work on me and make me more patient. It's not really up to me if he's going to make me more patient. It's up to him. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to be more patient. I'd like to do things that could put me in a position to make me more patient. But it's really him that produces the growth.
Mm-hmm. That's well said. So while we're saying that God's going to grow as we need to be grown, it's also not true that we don't know if we can grow or not, mm-hmm. right? So it's not unknown. But right. it's not something we can prescribe.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember about 15 years ago when I was going to God saying, God, this is how I need to grow. We need to make this change right now. It's like, oh yeah, that's not how that works at all, is it?
Yeah, one of the surprising ways that we, a surprising marker of growth is resistance. It's counterintuitive that is a marker of growth. And I remember as a leader being very thrown off by significant resistance because I felt like, you know, what I'm bringing to the table is going to be helpful. And don't we all want to do this together? And it seemed like initially we did. And then, you know, there would be various ways that resistance, you know, would show up. And my favorite form of resistance is the kind where there's just bold-faced honesty about like not getting God or not understanding why God would ever say that, or, you know, that kind of thing where, you know, they're able to communicate with you, like literally what's breaking their heart or confusing them about who God is.
Total honesty.
Mm-hmm. My least favorite version is silence. Like, they just don't want to give me a clue what is going on. And that's where I have to go back into this place of knowing that resistance is revealing activity. There's a conflict going on with God versus nothingness, like just complete passivity and not caring. And to just be curious and patient and have compassion for them and their resistance, because I mean, I feel like I am the queen of resistance. I have so many examples where God invited me for a very long time into something and I just completely refused. Or I would dabble in it a little bit and try and fail and be like, no, I'm not going to try this again. And the place where I'm at with that now is that I can recognize that in my journey. And that's when it's time for me to like choose somebody and say, hey, I need to tell you what's going on with me and I need help understanding why I'm not trusting God with this.
Yeah, I feel like when you're running into some resistance, you're hitting something that's a little bit below the surface. Like, we can show up week after week and talk about something, but then when we actually run into something that really hits a nerve, that means that you're actually digging in and cultivating. Mm-hmm. Like, again, going back to the metaphor of the four soils that Jesus gives us, you know, you've got the soil that's too hard and Satan is able to rob the hard heart from like hearing the truth. It's not able to sink in because you've resisted it so much. But then there's other soil that has rocks deep down in it. So it's able to receive some, but then the roots come up against resistance. And spiritual growth sometimes looks like softening soil. Sometimes it looks like removing big rocks that are in the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we also have the soil that has the weeds mm-hmm. that, you know, something's springing up, but then there's something else in the way. So like all these different places of resistance could be something of the enemy, something of just in their own life, a lie that they're believing, something that they haven't let go of, or just influences around them. Mm-hmm. All of mm-hmm. these things could be sources of resistance, where it's like the metaphor Jesus is showing is, if you are you going to grow up, are you going to grow down? You know, the plant needs room. And so we need to make room for growth. And then when we run into something, that's where God can really, really deal.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other ones that can be super surprising as far as resistance is a theological idea, something that you've been taught, you've understood, you've trusted, you've lived by. And it feels like God or someone else, you know, someone you're reading is like expanding that understanding to include more than what it used to be. Mm. And that can be really scary because you feel like you're losing a foundation piece that was like what was like holding you together or making life possible or making sense of things. And it's really incredible that we can be together in like exploring that and letting the Holy Spirit like work with all of us in community to understand Him more fully than we've understood Him before.
Mm-hmm. One area that I feel like I've seen that happen is just the role that suffering can take in spiritual growth. That like spiritual growth is not always comfortable. It can be painful for those places of resistance to kind of be tilled up yes. and made into fertile soil. It just makes me think about a metaphor of a doctor, really. So like when a doctor is wanting to heal you, when Jesus is working on us, you know, again, we need to yield. We can't just be sitting on the table fighting Him. We have to let Him sometimes give us a shot. Sometimes He wants to put on a bandage. Sometimes He wants to apply a like a really nice feeling jelly to a wound that's like a healing balm. And other times He needs to get out the scalpel and cut something out of you.
Yeah.
And all of those are going to feel different levels of comfortable or uncomfortable, but to be healed of things, different medical procedures are sometimes needed. And when we are growing spiritually, sometimes Jesus is going to get out the scalpel. Sometimes He's going to put on a bandage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes like the obvious presenting problem in the case of like this metaphor with the doctor going to a doctor's office, a lot of times there's so much more going on than just the presenting problem. Mm-hmm. And it can be one of the reasons why we don't want to go to the doctor because we don't want to find out if there's something more going on than the presenting problem. And when we're in groups and someone's talking about like an obvious presenting problem, like that's what they're bringing to the table, we can be so quick, like we've talked about in the whole listening thing, we can be too quick to jump in and advise and address that issue rather than being open to the spiritual life in addition to the presenting problem. What's underneath there that's going on that only God knows about at this point and wants to help with? And how could like taking a step back, listening to them, listening with them, sharing together what God seems to be stirring up in the conversation could actually lead to their healing, to a changed life.
Yeah, I resonate with that because I have seen that happen in a couple of groups that I've been a part of, two different kind of situations, but one where ladies were actually sitting with their phones in their hands waiting for somebody to share like what was, you know, their struggle or what was going on, because they were going to like Google a help and a fix and like how actually unhelpful that is. One particular situation, a lady was really talking about a child with an illness, and it was a newly diagnosed illness, and it was changing radically their the way she had to cook and feed this one child and how that's affecting the whole family. And, you know, like if you wanted to just like jump on to saying, oh, well, you know, what you need to do is shop here, you know, try these recipes. Have you maybe check out this cookbook or whatever, that would have, I guess, been a little bit of a practical help, but that wasn't really what was going on. What was really going on below the surface was she was coming unraveled. on the inside with stress. Mm. And she was really saying, why is God letting this happen? And I don't understand why my life is turning out this way. This was not my expectation. Like the real deeper issue, the growth that God was inviting the group to walk alongside her with was, where is God in the middle of this? And how do I trust him? And how do I see that he's good? And so the group could have gone down the rabbit trail of just trying to do the practical thing and help her figure out what she's going to cook tonight. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't really the growth that was needed in that moment. What was really needed is, how do I connect with God in the middle of all of this stress?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the metaphor. We kind of talked around it, but an iceberg is about 10% above the surface and about 90% below the surface. Mm-hmm. And it's really important for us as leaders to realize that as we go into our groups, there is a lesson we're doing. There's teaching things that we're bringing, but also we need to know that this growth that we're seeing, kind of like the oak you were talking about, Delane, most of that is under the surface, and that's really where what we want to get at. And by not letting someone struggle, or not listening real well, or by being uncomfortable with that, that really stunts that spiritual growth. So that's, we can be curious about that, about what is God doing, and how can we give them a safe place to say what they're, where they are and what they're living with, but also be attentive to that, what God's doing in their heart.
Yeah, and a real practical way to do that is to have kind of the question running in your mind is, I wonder how that's impacting her relationship with the Lord, or his relationship with the Lord, when he's sharing that above the surface thing, and helping them to explore that question, if they're ready for it, if they're open to that kind of exploration. Mm-hmm.
And as a leader, you've got to be willing to sit in the discomfort of the pain, like you were just kind of alluding to. And Britt, you were talking about the scaffold. If you were watching somebody else in your group go through something where God is using the scaffold, they're going to be in a lot of pain. And you as a leader have got to be able to manage yourself to not try to step in and intervene and fix that. There is something to be said about a leader's capacity to be able to allow somebody else to grow and go through the pain of it and not try to fix it.
And this is where being discerning about what the Spirit is doing and what the need is can often lead, when it's that painful, can often lead us to be directed to pray for that person right then and there. Mm-hmm. Because they are often needing the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They're needing the love of God to come in and surround them. And one of the most powerful ways that we do that is to pray in the Spirit for someone.
So what are some tips that we have for small group leaders on how to cultivate spiritual growth in their groups?
First thing I was just going to say is, it's hard. You say be spiritually growing yourself, but what does that look like? That's hard to give a tip to someone. Other than, I would say one tip that's important for me is just to create space for listening in my life. I have to create some space for listening to God and to for him to reveal himself and for him to reveal my heart to me. So I think we can create that space in our own life, and we can also create that space in the group as well, as we've talked about before, in good listening practices.
I once had a leader tell me that you can't take people where you haven't been yourself. Mm-hmm. And that you can't expect others to do what you're not willing to do. And so, well, that's kind of blunt. You need to be pursuing spiritual growth if you expect that to be happening in your group. So you need to be finding ways that you can yield. And there's the basic ones. There's the obvious ones. Reading your Bible on a regular basis. You know, praying on a regular basis. You know, it's what often feels like kind of the obvious, and yet sometimes are the things that are easy to let go for a little while. Mm-hmm. And it's like, thankfully, the grace of God is always available. It's like, oh, I'm just going to come right back and do it. That's like, how do you do that? Mm-hmm. One tip that I have, I've been in groups where there was a lot of trust. There was a lot of like just healthy kind of expectations about, you know, if I were to say something to you and it feels like fixing or hijacking, you just clearly say that and we just move on. But one thing that we did in that group was talking about a lot about what obedience looks like and challenging one another to be obedient. And so the tip is to think about specific practical ways of obeying. I've also heard the idea of SMART goals. They're specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. What's something that you can do in the next, 24 to 48 hours that can be an aspect of obeying God? And how can you yield for, 45 minutes or whatever? So you pick a time, you pick a thing that you're going to do. If you're going to say you're going to read the Bible, what are you going to read? What chapter are you going to read? And when are you going to do it? And how do you know? And if you're going to include accountability in it, who are you going to tell once you're done that you actually did what you said you were going to do? And, this kind of very intense, just being super specific about obedience can lead into legalism. If it's not done with the spirit that, I am yielding to God's work in me. And if I have a place of resistance, like I don't actually follow through on that specific goal that I gave, sitting with God and actually asking, why? Why didn't I? And rather it be a legalistic exercise of, did I check off the box? It's more like, why didn't I want to pursue God here? And God, will you talk to me about that?
Yeah. One of the things I love that you just said at the beginning when you were sharing, you were talking about, you can't leave people where you haven't gone. And I think we need to really keep in mind how invested and how much the Lord wants for each of us to be transforming. And that's true of us. And so, we're doing our best as leaders to cooperate with that. But then we also need to remember that whatever kind of activity is going on around that right now, that's part of what people are attracted to if they're looking to spiritually grow. They're seeing Jesus through whatever activity Jesus is actually doing in your life to transform you. And so that, let that be the connecting point, be the thing that like inspires you to grow, inspires you to be with them in their growth and enjoy the adventure of that together. It's such a good and amazing, life-giving, like it's the whole thing. This is what we're doing and how wonderful it is to get to do it together.
I think here at Crossroads, we talk a lot about spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. And I'm so glad that we get to have that as one of our focuses. I think I love thinking of spiritual disciplines as being the way in which we get to participate in the work that only God can do. And so to me, if we're talking about spiritual growth, like you can't really talk about spiritual growth apart from talking about disciplines. Like, this is the way that we show up. This is the way that we say, God, I really want to grow. Help me understand how this is possible. I know it's a work that only you do, but this is how I get to participate. And it's bringing a willingness, a yielding to the Lord to say, I want to grow. That's the purpose of discipline. So it's not a legalistic thing. And for me, I think two of like the strongest disciplines for change, for real heart change, I have found is fasting and confession. Our discipline for this year is fasting. I know that in John Mark Comer's latest book, Live No Lies, he talks about how fasting and confession are just incredibly powerful. And I would say that that is really true. Confession being like coming to your small group and saying with as much honesty as you can muster, this is what's going on in my life. And it doesn't have to be like, I'm not just talking about, how would I say it, confessing like a sinful thought or act or deed. I'm something that is shameful or something like that. I'm saying, this is where I'm struggling trusting God. Like, this is naming the resistances that we feel. Like, I feel this invitation of God, but I just don't really want to do it. Or, whatever it is, like naming honestly where you are, what you're afraid of. Like, I'm afraid if I follow God into doing this, it's going to cost me X, Y, and Z. Confession being bringing the honesty of your heart and your mind before your small group. And for me, that's where I have found like the most freedom. Like if I really want to be free of something, just being able to say honestly, not just what it is, but why I'm doing it, what I'm afraid of, what it's bringing up, naming all of the things that are, the iceberg beneath. Like I'm trying as best I can even though I don't fully understand it. I'm just processing with my group and I'm learning. And I'm, the thing about it is when you do that, you begin to, as a group together, you begin to understand where God is at work and how God is working and what God is making possible. Like you literally help each other to have new ideas and new thoughts about what God is doing. It's just incredibly helpful and beautiful.
Do you want to say more about fasting?
I think for me, when I'm fasting personally, the thing that every time I'm hungry, the thing that I say to myself is I don't have to have it my own way. Mm. And so it's really about working with resistances. Like, Lord, I know that I'm resistant to you in so many ways, but what I'm trying to do is to train myself to say, I don't have to have it my way. I want it your way. I just think it's really powerful that it's a constant reminder of, I do believe your way is a better way. Even though I'm opposed to it for somehow right now, I do want your way, and I want to train myself to not have to have it my way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing it brings up for me is I have this moment where I'm choosing to have less than I normally would have as a resource. Mm-hmm. And I'm choosing to believe that I don't have to be afraid of that, that the Lord can be everything that I need in that moment.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's real important. We're talking about yielding and about being a part of what God's doing and how we can't control it or can't make it happen. But I think it's the underlying part really important, that God, who began this good work in you, is going to see it to the end. He's committed to it. So his love and his care for us, even though when it doesn't seem like that, when it's hard, and his care as a group leader for everyone in your group, that God is the one that he will see it to completion. He wants them to grow and be closer to him and walk with him. So that's that, having that foundation as in my heart, just walk into my group, is real important.
This reminds me of the importance of prayer too. Like, we've talked about praying before, during, and after for each of the people that are in your group. And to me, that practice really opens my heart to care for them. And it also gives me wisdom from the Lord about how to care for them. When to hold back, when to speak in, comes from that praying, and gets you in touch with the heart of God and how much God cares for them.
Well, I honestly feel like we could talk about this for much, much longer, but we're going to wrap up here for now. But I just want to say thank you to any small group leaders that are listening. And I hope what we've talked about could be fruitful for you, that as you are growing, some of what we've said could help you cultivate growth in your own life, in your group life, and that Jesus would do some amazing things.